And now, ladies and gentlemen, before the curtain goes up on our scintillating extravaganza, we have a special offer for this show only, a box of your favorite candies with a prize in each and every package. There's a solid gold-plated wristwatch. What's that, Mac? Yeah, I got pictures. As I say to you lucky people here tonight, you truly and really are lucky. A solid gold-plated wristwatch and dozens of other high-type prizes of great value are yours for the taking. This offer, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, Mac, I got pictures. This offer, ladies and gentlemen and folks, is a special offer at 25 cents, a quarter of a dollar, for the box of candies and your special prize in each and every package. The young men are now ready to please you with that delicious orange drink, chocolate bars, popcorn. They're going up the aisles, and we have our special prizes of... Okay, buddy, I'll get the pictures later. As the boys pass up the aisles, just have your money ready. This is the last, absolutely the last call.
Burlesque, the bumps, the grinds, the jokes and the G-strings, the rowdy, raunchy fun of burlesque. American style has its roots in old minstrel shows, but it took a couple of new ideas from the old world to really fan the flames. Between 1870 and 1890, an American theater producer formed the Rentz Sattley Show, which dominated burlesque at that time. This is where Americans first saw the scandalous, the shocking, the forbidden, the can-can. It came from France. There wasn't any nudity. The females wore tights. But for its day, it was, well, it was just something that proper women didn't do. The infectious exuberance took America by storm. Ladies and gentlemen, the dance that scandalized Paris, that stunned the crowned heads of Europe, and that blue-nosed puritanical prudes can't stop. The can-can.
Immigrant workers flooded America in the 1920s and 30s, so theatrical entrepreneurs like Ziegfeld found huge audiences for his follies full of showgirls and glamour. Meanwhile, the Minsky brothers set up burlesque shows on the fringes of theatreland, but their clientele dictated a more salubrious affair. Burlesque rose from the ashes of the Depression. It was now about heightened sexual desire and brought sexy women and low comedians together in the need for a new kind of show.
These comics traveled, and they usually had a wife or a lady from whatever, you know, traveling with them as a talking woman. So they came into the town, and they didn't want to have to rehearse or hire someone. So they had their own woman who knew the script. Now we have to change the scenery from one comic to another. This takes time. What do we do? 6 minutes, 8 minutes to kill. Well, the talking woman was there. She's not changing scenery. So they put a gown on her and some gloves and played some music, and she walked back and forth while the set was being changed, and she disrobed. She couldn't dance, usually. She couldn't sing. So she just disrobed. That's how the strip woman got into burlesque.
There was really no complete nudity. If there was, it was done like in England, where the lights dimmed and you had snaps or hooks, knives, and you unsnapped or unhooked and let the G-string or something drop, but you posed like a statue.
Burlesque wasn't just going out there and bump, bump, bump and taking your clothes off. Burlesque was entertainment. For 15 cents, you could go in there and laugh for an hour and leave your troubles.
Gypsy Rose Lee was to become the first true star of striptease in the 1930s and 40s. It was her famous witty banter with the crowds which shot her to fame more than actually stripping.
Do you believe for one moment that I'm thinking of art?
No!
Well, I certainly am.
She'd keep audiences entranced with her intellectual rapport while not doing much more than peeling off a glove or a stocking. I've always believed the allure of the showgirl is to be otherworldly, untouchable for mere mortals, to sell fantasy and escapism.
The great Marlene Dietrich, if you'd seen her in a pair of jeans scrubbing the floor, which she did, and with or hammer nails into the stage so that everything was perfect, and then you saw her on stage as two different people. Yeah, that's the illusion of the theatre.
In fact, our legendary striptease queens were increasingly as famous as the movie stars of their times and commanded equally high paychecks for plying their saucy trade.
A lot of people would say, oh, well, weren't you ostracized and this and that? Yes, sort of. You could sort of see looks in department stores or something. But actually, by and large, we were kind of galvanized. We knew who we were.
Before, the old burlesque was based on the a way for a girl to make a quick buck. She wasn't educated. And the old burlesque, people who did burlesque in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, took this this sort of way to make a quick buck, and they elevated it to an art form.
Thank you.
End of your act, you back up and the lights dim and the curtain's closing, and you reach down and you unhook and let the G-string fall.
I was scared because I could see my grandfather staring at me. He was a minister, and I thought the devil was going to get me because I had sinned.
This was the relative who did the naughty things.
If one has morals, then they can't be taken away by me or anyone else.
Burlesque was a fabulous, gaudy era in America that's been left out of the history books.
I was 14 and summer was coming and school was out, so I went down and applied for a chorus girl job at the Casino Theater. I couldn't go to the old Howard because my mother was working there.
But this is the story of the father who kept telling his son, don't go to the old Howard, because you'll see something you're not supposed to see. One night the boy sneaks into the old Howard, and he does see something he's not supposed to see. His old man sitting in the front row watching the first show of the night.
They put itching powder in somebody's costume if they got a bigger hand on stage than they did.
I was the extra added attraction. I did the street scene number with the gunshot, the crawl. Nothing sexier than a woman crawling if she knows how.
They did like me. I said, she don't have any bosom. She has it so little, you know, they want big bosom.
Thank you. the superwomen!
We're not like the women you know.
The love slaves are belted, booted, and buckled for action.
I'll do anything to a man. For him.
The love slaves write their own laws. They dare to turn the secret desires of every woman into a world of pleasure.
You love the love slaves.
The love slaves, in color, admission restricted, and you'll never see the love slaves on television.
Thank you.
thing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave. Take it off. Take it all off. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
The closer you shave, the more you need Noxzema. Noxzema medicated comfort shave.
Tonight we go after the story of a beautiful blonde who has made a fortune by taking off her clothes in public. You see her behind me. She's the leading strip teaser in America, Lily St. Cyr.
She developed a routine, the one she became most famous for, which was her bubble bath routine. And
in those days, they didn't have bubble machines. And she hired one of the chorus girls to lay down in back of the bathtub and blow the bubbles in the little thing.
And then she would get out and get dressed again, and all of this was to get around laws which said you couldn't leave the stage with anything less than what you started with. She was always the headliner, and she was making anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a week.
She was making a fortune, and Harold would have to keep going back to her and asking her to do sometimes six shows a day. And she'd say, no, I want a set of sterling silver flatware. And she would name all the pieces that she'd want in order to do another show.
Her marriages keep breaking up, in part because of her career. She wanted to work. She did not save well. She said at one point that she always assumed there would be someone there to buy her a hamburger and take her out to dinner.
I always have to make money to pay for things, and now I'm caught up and I'll be stopping.
say it's scandalous. Someone said that we should know better. Why do people make such a fuss? I can't think of anything better. They say it's scandalous. Let the gossips have their say. That don't worry me. You and I will have our day. Just you wait and see. Should we tell them all about heaven? Should we tell them all about us? If we tell them all about heaven, they'll say it's scandalous. It's scandalous. Let the gossips have their say. That don't worry me. You and I will have our day. Just you wait and see.
He said, there ain't a damn thing we can do. That's the way she is.